Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. Thursday saw the election of a new pope to lead the world's 1.4 billion Catholics. It was an unexpected choice, an American, the first ever from the United States. Chicago-born Robert Francis Prevost, now Pope Leo XIV, gave his first Sunday address from the balcony of St. Peter's Basilica this morning. He called for an authentic and lasting peace in Ukraine and a ceasefire in Gaza and the release of all of the Israeli hostages. We're now going to discuss his election and how he might tackle the significant issues facing the Catholic Church. We're joined in our studio by the Bishop of Waterford and Lismore, Fonsy Cullinan, theologian Gina Menzies, and from our Cork studio by Colm O'Gorman, who's campaigned for accountability in relation to clerical sexual abuse for more than 30 years. Thank you all for being with us. But let's first go to Rome, where we can speak with Patsy McGarry, who's been covering the conclave for the Irish Times. Patsy, thank you for joining us again. Pope Leo gave a message of peace at his first Sunday address from St. Peter's this morning. What else have we learned about him and how he might lead the Catholic Church since he was selected as Pope?
Well, I suppose the first indication, Justin, is the choice of name, which he explained yesterday to the cardinals who elected him. Leo XIII was a fairly radical pope for his time, and indeed even still. He outlined the basis of what has become Catholic social doctrine since then, emphasised by various encyclicals from other popes since then. At the time, he was addressing basically the misery of the working classes of Europe and indeed generally at the hands of untrammelled capitalism. He talked about their right to organise and to form trade unions, spoke about a decent and moral wage. He also attacked socialism and said it wasn't the solution either. And that, if you like, underlined what has been emphasized by Pope Pius XII in an encyclical he published in the 1930s, Pope John XXIII and Pope John Paul, and indeed you could say Laudato Si, the second encyclical of Pope Francis about climate change and global warming, would be very much in the same line of thinking.
And then what about the more difficult and challenging issues facing the Catholic Church? For example, on the acceptance of gay people in the Catholic Church, the position of women in the Church. What do we know about his position on those issues?
Well, he's made it clear where women are concerned. He is totally opposed to the clericalization of women, as he described it himself at a Synod of Bishops in recent years. It seems to be the one issue he will not be moving, definitely will not be moving on, which, of course, would be very disappointing for probably the majority of Irish Catholics, whether they are men or women, who in the process of the synodal pathway, when they were consulted, as Catholics were worldwide, made it very clear that they wanted equality for women right up to and including ordination as priests and deacons. On the gay issue, there seems to be some confusion. In 2012, he came out very critical about movements in the West, particularly which were fostering the homosexual lifestyle, and he explicitly criticised the practice of same-sex couples adopting children. That was in 2012, during the papacy of Pope Benedict XVI, whom we know were very harsh on gay people, describing them as objectively disordered with a tendency to evil. But in 2013, Pope Francis, when asked the same question or asked about gay people, said, "Who am I to judge?" And Pope Leo, when he was made a cardinal in 2023, gave an interview where he had considerably softened his line on gay people. And in fact, I spoke to the current prior general of the Augustinian Order on Friday, and I asked him that question. And he said, well, at the time, the Pope was articulating church doctrine, not necessarily his own opinion. So that remains to be clarified.
And I suppose we will get some clarity. He is due to talk to members of the media tomorrow. Is that right?
He's to give an audience to the media. It isn't a press conference. We will sit and he will speak to us. It's the same thing happened when Pope Francis was elected in 2013, and he gave a very humorous address to us. I expect Leo's will be a bit more restrained. He's that different type of man. He's not as gregarious or outgoing as Pope Francis was.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing his words. And thank you very much for joining us from Rome today. That's Patsy McGarry, who's been covering the conclave for the Irish Times. And as I mentioned, we're joined in studio by our panel here. And I want to go first to Bishop Fonsy Cullinan. Bishop Fonsy, what do you think the biggest challenge is going to be facing the new Pope now?
Well, he is a man of very deep faith. And I think the biggest challenge that he will try to tackle is the whole question of teaching an authentic Christ to a world which is perhaps not listening. He's really keen on and his first words were on the loggia, on the balcony, the day that he was presented to the world, he said, I bring you the greetings from the risen Jesus. And I think this was really the message that he wanted to get across and will continue to get across. It's all about Jesus and his church.
Okay, but the Catholic Church, I suppose, it is very different in different parts of the world.
Yes.
In it's growing in Latin America, growing in Africa, and there's a very different emphasis in that part of the world. Can I ask you though about the Catholic Church in Ireland?
Yes.
Almost 70% of people in Ireland identify as Catholic, but attendances at Mass have been falling. There have been difficulty in getting people to join, to become priests, vocations. Is there anything that a new pope can do to change that?
Well, I think in fact that there actually is an upturn in the Irish Church, and I think that people are beginning to see that. I work a lot with young people. I've just come back from a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, and I saw that what the young people really want is meaning. They want to know that they are loved.
Well, when you say there's an upturn, I mean the church attendances are still falling, aren't they?
But you know, the anecdotal evidence from parishes all around Ireland, in actual fact, are that there are people coming back. This is the amazing thing, but it's true. And also there's been an upturn in those, slight upturn, but definitely an upturn in those going for vocation to the priesthood, for example. When I confirm people, Justin, you know, and bishops are all around the country now are confirming youngsters, and, you know, the church will be full for that day. I know that they won't be there the following Sunday, and many of them. But there is still a desire. There is still a faith there. And I think that Pope Leo will really want to build on that.
I want to go to Cork to speak with Colm O'Gorman, who's in our Cork studio. Colm O'Gorman, thank you for joining us. On the issue of clerical sexual abuse, which you have been campaigning on for years, one survivors network is expressing grave concern about the actions of Robert Prevost before he became Pope Leo in relation to his handling of abuse allegations. Do you have concerns about him?
I suppose it's, first of all, Justin, thanks very much indeed. It's difficult to, one of the concerns I have is that we'll personalise this again, we'll be again caught up in the actions of the individual. Now that sounds like an odd thing to me to say, because I actually do think it's incredibly important that Pope Leo account for himself and how he managed cases, particularly one in 2022 in his diocese in Peru, where three women came forward and made complaints of abuse by two priests from 2007 on when they were children. They then, a number of months later, went to the civil authorities to complain that the diocese, as in the current Pope as bishop, hadn't properly investigated those complaints or referred them onto the police. So that's a real concern, and that needs to be addressed. But to be frank, it's very difficult to imagine a situation where any senior church leader who's held a post of bishop over the last 30 or more years hasn't objectively mismanaged cases of child sexual abuse, because what was required of them was to cover up and manage those cases internally and not report to the civil authorities and protect priests. And it was required by church law.
So then, just in terms of how he might deal with the issue as a church leader, the issue of clerical sexual abuse, I mean, what does Pope Leo need to do that his predecessors did not do to deal with it?
Well, I suppose he should live up to the commitment, the radical commitment to social justice, and tell the truth. I mean, that's a first step. When I was five, when I made my first confession, just to explain what I mean, Justin, when I was five and I made my first confession, I was taught that if I did something that harmed another person, I needed to tell the truth about it, I needed to acknowledge it, and I needed to take steps, whatever steps I could, to you know, make reparations for that, to account for that in some form. That's what the Pope needs to do. Pope Leo needs to, at the level of the institution, acknowledge the truth of the cover-up of abuse that was directed and mandated by church law, by the Vatican, that was enforced across the Catholic world, and that caused incalculable harm to victims, to their communities, to their families and to people of deep faith. He needs to apologise for that fact. And then he needs to make sure that the church as an institution has the humility to allow itself to be held accountable through a proper independent investigation of how the Vatican oversaw that cover-up.
Do you accept, though, that there has been significant progress made? I mean, in 2020, the Vatican told bishops to report cases of clerical sex abuse to civil authorities, even if local laws didn't require them to do that. That was a big change from the past and a sign that there has been significant progress.
Well, I mean, Justin, it's difficult to get excited about the idea that advice might have gone out to manage things in a particular way when that hasn't been enshrined in canon law, so it's not really enforceable. And secondly, it's difficult to get excited about the Vatican telling bishops to do what's patently the right thing to do 30 years on after they told us all that we were fantasists and liars for raising these issues in the first place. And that's where, to build credibility, the first thing that Leo has to do is tell the truth about the abuse issue across the global Catholic Church and about the Vatican's roles in directing it. Everything else flows from that. Everything else flows from the truth. And that's the first step. That's the critical first step that no Pope has taken.
All right. I'll go to Bishop Fonzie on those points in a moment. But Gina Menzies, a theologian who's in our studio also, under Pope Francis, the role of women in the Catholic Church was expanded. He gave women the right to vote in synods and appointed more women to senior positions in the church. Do you think that Pope Leo will take that on further, notwithstanding what Patsy has told us about the progression of women through the church?
Well, I'm an optimist and I'm a member of a group called We Are Church Ireland, which is a group, if you like, with the objectives of reform in the church. And albeit things are going very slowly, but I agree with what you said, that Pope Francis did initiate a number of changes in that he did bring women into positions of authority, albeit there are very few women there. And certainly the one thing that I suppose I hold on to is that Francis initiated this synodal pathway. And in that, the reports from all over the world, from Ireland, from the Universal Church, you know, focused on the role of women and the need to recognise it, like the full equality and the dignity of all people. And that obviously includes women. And I find it, you know, it's interesting that social justice, which Patsy was quite right, from Rerum Novarum, new things at the end of the 19th century, really focused on justice in relation to people and the workplace and the dignity of every human being. Now, if you take that and translate it into the position of women in the church, you're absolutely going to reach a different position, that justice for the marginalised also includes justice for women.
Where do you see Pope Leo going then in relation to the role of women in the Catholic Church?
Well, I hope he will take it forward. I mean, he has said he will build on that he will continue the legacy of Francis, and Francis has taken the first steps. He can't go back on it. I don't think there is any going back to telling women that their place is just in a domestic world. I don't think that's going to happen. How he does it may be somewhat differently, but I really believe that he has no option but to take it further and to initiate women into significant positions in the church. The issue about ordination really comes down to the fact that up to now, only the ordained in the church made decisions about doctrine, about interpreting scripture, about governance. So that becomes a kind of a litmus test. But I think, you know, in relation, say, to deacons, there have been two reports on could women be deacons in the church. And there's a wonderful book by a laywoman called Phyllis Zagano, who's actually done forensic research into the role of women in the early church. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, there were women who acted as deacons. And in fact, you know, John O'Brien, a priest who's written about women in ordination, will actually say that women were also in those positions in the early church. And just finally to say that, you know, if you read people like Elizabeth Fiorenza, who's a phenomenal scriptural scholar, she has excavated the early church. Women were all over the church in the first century. They were in positions where they were spreading the gospel.
All right. I want to go back to Bishop Fonzie Cullen. And to pick up on some of the points that have been made there, in relation to the issue of clerical sexual abuse, the point was made by Colin McGorman there that the Catholic Church has failed to admit that clerical sexual abuse was covered up at the highest levels. I mean, do we need the new Pope to come out now and admit that abuse was covered up before we can move on?
But, you know, haven't bishops and indeed popes apologised and said that they were sorry for abuse. You know, as a bishop in my own case, I'm a bishop now for the past 10 years, the safeguarding of children is absolutely paramount.
But there's
absolutely
a difference, isn't there, between an apology and an admission that it was covered up?
Well, you know, I can only speak for my particular 10 years. I mean, you know, to have Pope Benedict, you know, issue that letter to Irish Catholics and saying sorry for what was done, you know, I think that is hugely significant. I also think that you know, and there was fair comment from Colm O'Gorman on let's have the truth out here. And I'm sure that Pope Leo will be more than willing to, affront any issue that needs to be taken into consideration.
Justin,
yes, Colm O'Gorman.
If I can come back in there. I mean, first of all, there has never been a papal apology for the cover-up of abuse. There has never been an apology for abuse. There have been expressions of profound regret, of deep sadness, of that's the kind of language that has been used. An apology means an acknowledgement of the truth, an acceptance of one's responsibility, and then being accountable for that. That has never come from the Vatican in relation to the cover-up of abuse. And as for Pope Benedict, you know, Pope Benedict, when he was Cardinal Ratzinger, was the person who said that reports of abuse within the church was a media conspiracy against the church. He lied repeatedly about the abuse issue. So the truth is the thing that allows us to move forward. And sadly, popes and cardinals and indeed bishops have lied and told blatant lies and deceits about this issue now going back many, many decades.
All right.
And we have to start with the truth.
Do you want to respond to that?
I would not accept that Pope Benedict lied.
I just showed you how he did, Fonzie.
I want to ask you, Bishop Fonzie, about the role of women in the Catholic Church. And there was a discussion during Pope Francis's tenure about the possibility of women becoming deacons. It wasn't progressed. Would you like to see that happening?
Well, you see, I would have to contest, Gina, there. In actual fact, the best scholars have discovered that, in fact, there were, of course, roles for women in the early church, but they were not ordained deacons. They had different roles, as they do right across the country right now, right across in so many places. The role that women are playing in homes, not only in parishes, but in homes, in schools, in hospitals, entirely equal in dignity. But the role of the priest is a different. It is something different that the Catholic Church offers to the world. The priesthood, the celibate priesthood of the male, like myself, and I am very happy to be a priest and to be in this role. And I cannot. It is a doctrine which is given to us, I believe, from Jesus Christ and is not up for change by human beings.
I want to ask Gina to respond to that.
Can I just say something in relation to what Colm said?
Very briefly.
I understand exactly what he's saying. There have been many apologies. I agree with Bishop Cullen on many apologies. I was in Dublin Castle when Francis apologised. What Colm is asking for is an institutional admission of cover-up. And that actually is quite different to the apology. I totally understand what he's saying and I agree with it.
Going back to women.
Again, if you look at the early church, women were there. Ordination didn't actually come in as we know it until the 5th century. So Jesus ordained nobody. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus' followers were Jews and many, many women were part of his followers. So, you know, let's get the tradition thing correct.
All right. A final question, Bishop Fonzie, the new Pope. He's only 69. He may well have a very long papacy. I mean, are you? Where do you see this Pope on the spectrum, from the conservative through to the progressive and modernist? Where does he stand on that?
Yeah, I think he's first of all, he's very calm. I think he's a centrist. I you know, Justin, I do not really like putting people into boxes. I think he's going to be great. I really do think he's a tremendous intellect. He's a man of deep prayer, huge experience. And he's just a beautiful person who has obviously shown in his work in Peru that he is a man of the people.
All right. And thank you all for joining us today. But that's Bishop Fonzie Cullen and theologian Gina Menzies, and from our Cork studio, Colm O'Gorman. Thank you for taking part in our discussion today. We'll be back and hear from Gaza after the break.